realize that there are a lot of things that we consider to be impossible that really are not impossible. They're very possible with God. I played that little video clip last week of Ray Lewis, and he said something to the effect of, you know, things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And there are a lot of things in our life that are just like that. We think, wow, how are we going to do this? But God says, you can do it. There are things in our lives we think, boy, it's impossible to do this, but God says, if you'll live the way I want you to live and follow my principles, it is possible to do these things. And many times, I've even heard myself, and don't raise your hand, but you're probably guilty of this too if I ask you to raise your hand, saying something like, you know, well, I'm just this way. That's how I've always been, and I'll never change. Or probably most of us have a tendency not to say that about ourselves. We have a tendency to say that about the people around us, right? Well, that's just the way they are. You know, you're never going to change Uncle Fred. That's just the way he is. But you know what? God has the ability to change even the unchangeable. God has the ability to take us, even when we are guilty of saying, well, it's just the way I am. I can't help myself. And say, hey, I can change you and mold you and make you. And that's what we've been talking about for the last several weeks as we started the year off with our series from Jeremiah on God making us and molding us. And this kind of takes that concept and moves it to the next direction and said, okay, what are some of the things that God wants to mold in our lives? What are some of those what if things in our lives? What if these things happened? And so in this series, we're going to explore some new possibilities. And today we're going to ask the question, what if I forgave everyone? Now, before we get started, I want to start here. Don't say anything. Don't raise your hand, okay? Do you have someone in your life who you just really have a tough time forgiving? Don't raise your hand, you know. It may be the person next to you. You don't want them to know, all right? But do you have someone in your life that you just have a tough time forgiving? Quite frankly, you don't have to raise your hand because I already know. Every single one of us sitting here probably should go like this, right? Because every single one of us has somebody with whom we just have a tough time forgiving them. Well, this morning, I want us to think about the problems that we get into when we don't forgive. The problems that we get when we don't forgive. Let me tell you something. If you hang on to unforgiveness, it creates a whole lot more problems for you than it does the other person. It creates a whole lot more problems in your life than it does the other person's life. There is emotional torment. There is bitterness and moodiness and sleeplessness. It's been said that harboring unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that it's going to kill your enemies instead of kill you. That's because when you hang on to unforgiveness, it hurts you more than it hurts anybody else. But some people think that refusing to forgive gives them some kind of leverage or power over the other person. Or by refusing to forgive, that they can extend the punishment on the other person, you know. I'm not going to forgive them, I'm mad at them, and they're going to know it. Who's that hurt in the bottom line? Not forgiving. It hurts the unforgiver, the one who continues to carry the offense with them. In November 1930, the Chicago Examiner, the newspaper, reported the story of a fellow by the name of Harry Havens. Harry Havens went to bed and he stayed there with a blindfold on for 7 years. When you read the story told you why he stayed there for 7 years. Havens was always trying to be a good husband. He worked around the house. He took care of the yard. He carried out the trash. He even helped do the dishes. Guys, that's pretty good, isn't it? And one day his wife complained that he wasn't doing it right. So Harry said, I have enough. I'm done with it. He said, if that's how you feel, I'm going to bed and I'll stay there for the rest of my life. And he did stay there for 7 years. He said, I don't want to ever look at you again. So he put a blindfold on. He didn't take it off. The article's headline said, Man spites his wife by staying blindfolded in bed for 7 years. Now I want to ask you, who got hurt probably the most in that? It was poor old Harry, wasn't it? You know, he missed 7 years of life. Now, it probably did get on his wife's nerves too, quite frankly. But look at what he missed. And look at how foolish it is to harbor unforgiveness, to harbor that feeling inside. And we've all seen it happen, haven't we? Either within ourselves or somebody else who didn't forgive, and they're just harboring that unforgiveness, and you see it begin to degradate their own lives and tear down their own life simply because they will not forgive. Well, this morning, I want us to think about, if we forgive, what good will it do? What good will it do if we do forgive somebody else? In other words, how's it going to affect our life? And here's some things you can just kind of fill out in your outline as we go through this real quick. Because if we're willing to put the principle of forgiveness into practice, you'll create a better life for yourself. And here's some ways you do it. One is, you'll experience peace in your life. That gnawing sensation that's in the pit of your stomach when you're harboring unforgiveness will go away. That unsettled sense of resentment and discontentment will disappear. And it will be replaced by a sense of peace. Corrie Ten Boom, most of you know the name Corrie Ten Boom. She was part of the war in World War II. But Corrie Ten Boom said, "Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and to realize that prisoner was you." That's a good thought, isn't it? Forgiveness is to set a prisoner free, and the prisoner is you. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." And then he goes on to say this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." I want you to catch this. There is a connection between forgiveness and peace. There's a connection between the two. You will not have peace in your life unless you have forgiveness in your life. If you're harboring unforgiveness, there will be no peace. If you're harboring unforgiveness in your marriage or in your family, there will be no peace. If you're harboring unforgiveness with a co-worker or something at work in your job, there will be no peace. If you're harboring unforgiveness against a friend and maybe something they did that, you know, you legitimately have to forgive them for, there will still be no peace in your life. The only way to get the peace is to experience the unforgiving or the forgiving heart. So one of the things we get when we forgive is we experience peace. There's a second thing that we receive when we are forgiven or forgive others, and that is you'll find it easier to forgive yourself. So not only are you forgiving other people, guess what? Now you have the ability to forgive yourself. If you are a forgiving person and are willing to extend mercy to others, it will be much easier to extend that same mercy to yourself. I read about a woman who was being counseled, and she simply could not let herself off the hook for anything. Every day, all she thought about was, why did I do this? Why did I do that? If only I hadn't made that mistake. If only this or if only that. And she refused to let herself be happy because she could not forget herself. But as the counselor began to work with her, he discovered something. Not only had she not forgiven herself, she had not forgiven anybody else in her life. She had not forgiven her parents because she thought that they weren't the best parents in the world. She had not forgiven her spouse because she thought he could have been a better spouse. She had not forgiven her boss because her boss seemingly passed over her for promotion. Every area of her life, there was this idea of unforgiveness. She could not forgive. Therefore, she couldn't forgive the things that she even saw in her life. And as he worked with her and talked with her, one of the things that she discovered was it was only as she began to forgive other people that she could in turn forgive herself. It was only as she began to put the guilt out over here and began to forgive that finally she could look at herself without guilt and without regret and forgive herself. When we forgive, we'll find it easier to forgive ourselves. And that brings me to the next benefit that I want you to see, and that is when you practice the principle of forgiveness, you will experience the fullness of forgiveness. Now, there's a biblical principle here. Sometimes Jesus said things that were so simple, so straightforward, so direct that we miss them. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? Sometimes Jesus will say things, it is so plain that we miss the whole thing, and this is probably one of those. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. This is pretty plain. He said, forgive and what? You will be forgiven. Now, how much plainer can you get than that? I mean, that's pretty understandable, isn't it? You forgive and you will be forgiven. He also said this in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Forgive us our trespasses or our sins, our wrongdoings, as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you begin the journey of this Christian life, your sins are forgiven. That's because you have surrendered completely to the Lordship of Christ. And as you continue that walk in His forgiveness, God expects you also to forgive in turn. There's a principle of reciprocity. You receive back what you give, and you see that over and over and over again in Scriptures, that principle of reciprocity. That's why generous people always seem to have enough to get by. That's why people who show mercy always seem to be those who are able to receive mercy when the time is right. You see, it's that principle of reciprocity that God has put into place. As a matter of fact, talking about mercy, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful because they will receive mercy. When you hang on to unforgiveness, though, you're not just drinking poison in your relationship, you're drinking poison in your spiritual life. It's not only hurting you physically, it's not only hurting you emotionally, it's also hurting you spiritually because you haven't forgiven. So the bottom line is this, what do we need to do? Forgive, right? When I ask you to put your hands up, not put your hand up, remember? With that person that came to your mind, what do you need to do? Simply forgive. But here comes the tough part. We all know that. I haven't told you one thing you didn't already know. That one of the things we need to do is forgive others. Here's the tough part. How do we put it into practice? How do we forgive? And you and I know it is a whole lot better to say it than it is to do it. Because we tend to hang on to those offenses for a long time. And the sad truth is, we tend to hang on to the small offenses in others while we ask God to forgive the big offenses in us. Jesus told a story about that. Remember the story? There was a king who decided to settle all of his open accounts. And there was a guy who he discovered owed him today like millions of dollars. So he called the guy in. And he said, you owe me this and you need to pay it. And the fellow is standing before the king. He says, king, I just can't pay it. He said, I don't have it. I have this family. I have this wife. I have this children. You know, I just can't do it. There is no way I can pay it. I'll do the best I can, but it just can't happen. And so the guy begged for mercy and said, will you be patient with me? I'll get it back to you. I don't have it right now. And the king canceled the debt. He set the man free. Can you imagine how that guy must have felt when he walked out that day, you know? He had this million-dollar debt, and all of a sudden the king says, it's done, forget it. You know, I understand your life situation. I understand where you are. It's forgiven. But the story doesn't end there, does it? What does the guy do? He goes out to another fellow that owed him a little bit, you know, a Big Mac fry and an iced tea. And he goes up to the guy and he says, "You owe me this, you need to pay." And the guy says, "I don't have it, I can't pay, just be merciful with me, you know, hold on, I'll get it to you, I have my wife and my children and all those kind of things." And what did the fellow do? Threw that guy in jail. When the king heard about it, what was his reaction to the whole thing? He said, "I tell you what," he said, "I have forgiven you for all of this, yet you wouldn't forgive somebody else." Matthew chapter 18, the story ends like this. "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then he ordered the man back in prison until he could pay. Matthew chapter 18 goes on to say this. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." You know, there's a good message there, and there's a scary message there, isn't there? The good message is that we have the ability to forgive and God will forgive us. The scary message is if we harbor unforgiveness, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble because God says, "I'm not forgiving you either." So there are some things I think that we need to remember as we apply the principle of forgiveness. Here's one of them. You forgive as God has forgiven you. That's the biggest principle and the main principle. You forgive as God has forgiven you. Same words Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. "Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you." Well, let me ask you, how has God forgiven you? Totally. Completely. He forgives, and more importantly, He also forgets. Aren't you glad for that? One of our problems is sometimes we say, "I forgive," but we never forget, right? When it comes to somebody doing something wrong to us, we're like the elephant. "I never forget. I may say I've forgiven you, but I don't forget." It's kind of like the husband and wife, they're having trouble in their marriage, and they went to a marriage counselor, and the marriage counselor was talking to them, and the husband said, "Sir, I just have to tell you, say, you know, every time I do something, she just gets hysterical." And the counselor said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" He said, "No, historical. She brings up everything wrong I ever did." You see, forgive as God has forgiven you. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34 says, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more." Aren't you glad that God forgives, forgets? That God has the ability to forgive. There's an old legend about a woman who told her preacher that God speaks to her personally, that God tells her everything that she needs to know. And the pastor said to her, "Is that so?" He said, "Then I'll test you. I committed an ugly sin when I was young. Ask God to tell you what the sin was, and maybe I'll believe you that God speaks directly to you." So she left that day. She came home the next week, and she said, "Pastor," or the other pastor said to her, said, "Did you ask God about my sin?" And the woman said, "Yeah, Pastor," said, I must have been wrong about hearing the voice of God, because I asked Him about your sin and what you did, and tell me, and that way I can go back and tell you that yes, God does speak to me." But she said, "You know, God came to me and said, I don't remember." And the pastor said, "Well, ma'am, maybe then you really are hearing the voice of God, because aren't you glad that God doesn't remember?" Now, I know there's some theological holes in that story, so don't hold me to the story itself, but the illustration is good. God not only forgives, God also forgets. There's a lesson in there for all of us when it comes to forgiveness, that there are times where we simply not just give forgiveness, but we also forget. And sometimes it is the forgetting that takes more effort than the forgiving. It is sometimes the forgetting that we have to work harder at than just forgiving. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross back years and years and years ago. She was confronted one day with a memory of a betrayal that she had experienced years before, but she acted as if she had never heard of the incident. And a friend asked her, "Don't you remember what that person did to you?" And Clara said, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting it. When we give somebody, when we forgive someone, that's what we need to do. Just forget. There's a second thing to remember about forgiveness, and that is you forgive only when you need to forgive. You may think, now wait a minute, that was a little strange. Forgive only when you need to forgive. What do you mean by that? I mean that there are a lot of people who struggle with unforgiveness over things that really aren't any of their business. Think about it. And that doesn't just apply to people who make the headlines. It applies to all of us. It applies to people everywhere. One of the things that I believe the news media does today is they set themselves up as judge, prosecutor in every instance. You know, if you don't meet quite their standard, then that's it, you're done. In other words, what are they doing oftentimes? They're sticking their nose in a place where it simply doesn't belong. This is a principle that they haven't learned. You forgive only when you need to forgive. There have been two incidences in the last week that have just irritated the life out of me. One of them is Lance Armstrong. You know what irritates me about that? It's not what Lance did or didn't do or any of that other kind of stuff. I don't care. What irritates me about it is that such a big deal has been made over it. It's on the news media constantly. Keep your nose out of their business. The other one is the guy for Notre Dame, whatever the guy's name is, the football player, who supposedly was duped with this whole girlfriend thing or whatever. I could care less. Yeah, every time I turn the news on, what's the first thing that's on? What's the main sports story? Some guy that was duped by a girl that isn't real and whatever. I don't care. Keep your nose out of it. It's not yours to mess with, media. You know, let him deal with his own life, whatever that means. Jesus said the same thing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. I want you to listen to what this says. It says, if someone sins, what are the next two words? It's on the screen. Against you. Not if someone sins against somebody else. Not if someone sins against your neighbor. Not if someone sins against your brother. If someone sins against you. Then you need to deal with it. Then you need to do something about it. Then you need to pray about it. Then you need to take steps of restoration. Then you need to forgive. Then you need to confront them. Then it is your problem. But forgive only when you need to forgive. When it's yours to forgive. Here's a third thing that will help you through your whole idea of forgiveness, and that is, forgive face to face. And this kind of builds on what I'm saying here with this idea of forgiveness. Because if it is something that you need to forgive for, it is yours to forgive, it is yours personally, then the Bible says we need to do it face to face. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 goes on to say, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. And maybe that's the thing about all this new stuff this week that has bothered me more than anything else. Is you've got two lives who have been brought into the public arena to such extent that they're going to have a tough time getting it back together no matter what. You know, the Bible says it's between you and the person, face to face. Go deal with it. The simple truth is that most people in conflict never take this step. They talk to others about it. The news media gets involved about it. But they don't go to each other and sit down and talk it out and talk it through. And so the anger and the bitterness just kind of swells and it grows and it gets worse and worse. The resentment grows. There's a wall that's built up to the place that's going to be almost impossible to go face to face and deal with whatever it is. Now, Jesus does give some steps after this. He says, if you've taken the step of going and talking to the person just one-on-one, he says, then take someone with you and go talk to them. He said, if that doesn't solve the problem, what's the next step? Bring it to the church. So he does give a process to go on there, but where does it have to start? And this is the place most of us forget, one-on-one, one-on-one. And if you do this, if you follow these principles, then forgiveness is so much easier. And life is so much better. Because forgiveness tears up one person. And the person is you. So what if? I'm going to go back to where we started. That one person that you held your hand up for, what if you forgave them? What would be better in your life if you did? How would your life be more open to the working and the leading of God? How would your heart and your soul be much more at ease if you forgave? The Bible teaches a great lesson about forgiveness. The greatest lesson ever. And it's a lesson that all of us as Christians have learned. It's the lesson of God forgiving us. If anyone ever should not have been forgiven, it is a fellow by the name of Saul. Remember Saul? Saul was a fellow in the New Testament that he was devout. When it came to being a Jew, he was the best of the best. I mean, education-wise, he had the best education. From status standpoint, he was at the highest status, some of the highest ranks, if you want to say it that way, in the whole Jewish community. This new thing came along called Christianity, and, you know, being the kind of guy he was, devout and all those things, follower of God, he thought, man, I got to eradicate this. I need to get rid of this. So he took it on as his responsibility to kill everyone who said they were a Christian, as many as he could find. As a matter of fact, he even got letters and permission from the high priest saying he could go from place to place and get rid of the Christians. A fellow named Saul met a fellow named Jesus on his way to Damascus to get rid of some of those Christians one day. And when he met a fellow named Jesus, he learned something else. He learned what it means to be forgiven. And the fellow named Saul became the greatest apostle ever, and his name was Paul. Why did that happen? Because he learned forgiveness from the greatest of all forgivers, Christ himself. Jesus said, "Forgive as you have been forgiven." All of us in some way are Saul. Now we may not go around killing Christians, but all of us in some way are Saul. God wants all of us to experience what it means to be a Paul, to understand what forgiveness is all about in our lives, and then in turn, to bring the message of forgiveness to a world around us that needs to hear. In other words, our hearts need to be changed to be who God wants us to be. Our hearts need to be changed to be more forgiving. Our hearts need to be changed to be someone that has arms that are open, that says to the world, God can forgive you. And we experience the forgiveness of God. Then we have the ability to forgive other people. Will you stand up? We're going to close by singing that song that helps us to understand what we need to do in our own lives as God works in and through us, and as He's changing who we are. And especially when you think of this, think about it as a forgiving heart. Change my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh Potter, I am the
This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
That should be our prayer, isn't it? Change my heart to be like you. And in doing that, we experience the forgiveness and we are able to forgive. And I can tell you, when you forgive, it's like this load has been lifted off of you. It's like this burden that you've been carrying is gone. And wow, what a life you have when you experience and you forgive. Hey, I hope all of you are here tonight. So come and join us 6 o'clock for the dinner. Bring something to share together. We have some important things to talk about. Wednesday night, we'll start the new study of Secrets of the Vine. Hey, Hannah asked that we keep her grandmother in prayer. She's had a stroke, and so Pam's mom, just keep her in prayer. And I know that they appreciate that. Mary Sharp's still in the hospital too. So keep Mary in your prayer after her surgery this week. And I know that she would appreciate that. Have a great week. Thank you for being here today. It's amazing.